Well, this morning we're going to continue our series on resurrection lifestyle, what it means to walk with the risen Jesus, living his life. And we've discovered a number of things in the past about God's faithfulness to us and his wanting to partner with us. We've learned that we need to trust him, knowing that without his care and his involvement in our work, which is really his work, we can accomplish very little. This morning we're going to be looking at one of the first images that Jesus uses in the Gospel of John. This week we're going to look at, I am the Good Shepherd. Next week we're going to talk about Jesus' statement, I am the true vine and you are the branches. So that's kind of where we're today and where we're going for next week. But as we open John chapter 10, let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts today. Lord God, we come eagerly before you because we have no other place to go if we're going to learn about you, if we're going to hear from you. And so we've gathered in worship as you have called us to listen to you. We've sung your praise, we've lifted our prayers, but now we're eager to listen. And so we pray that you will generate from those eager hearts also hearts that are open to hear, to ponder, to believe, but also to be ready to act. Lord, most of all, help us to get a fresh vision of who you are as our good shepherd, and help us to live in the security that that provides. And we ask it through Christ. Amen. John chapter 10, Jesus has just done a miracle. He's healed a blind man, and there's been a lot of kind of discussion back and forth in the community with the religious leaders. Who did this? If Jesus did it, who is he? Either he is crazy and demon-possessed, or otherwise he's got to be from God. So which is it? And so Jesus is in kind of a rigorous dialogue with the Pharisees going back and forth, and this man who was healed is a part of that discussion as well from time to time. And Jesus describes himself in the passage that we're going to be reading, first of all, as the gate for the sheep. In other words, he's the, when a shepherd brought his sheep into a pen, which was probably many times more domesticated than what happened more often, which was he was out far away from where his home was, and he simply found a rock enclosure, more often not a cave, and he kept his sheep in there overnight. And of course, he didn't haul a gate along. He sat across the opening. He was the gate. And so that's, Jesus used that imagery to say, I'm the gate for the sheep. Sheep come in and go out through me, but I'm also the protector of the sheep. And then in verse 11, he continues with this declaration, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to pick it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Well, one of the presumptions, both of Psalm 29 and also of this particular passage in John chapter 10, one of the assumptions is that in the reality of life, you and I need a shepherd. I don't know if we often think about that, but we need someone to sort of lead us, guide us, show us the way, protect us, which is kind of cultural for us. I mean, from the time we're fairly young, we're raised to be independent, free, make our own decisions, go our own way. And the world in its many ways sort of entices us to live in that kind of a way. Free, independent, do what you please. And yet the scriptures are saying, no, we need a shepherd. Why do we need a shepherd? Well, I guess the simple answer is because God calls us sheep. And sheep need a shepherd. Okay, well, why does God call us sheep? Well, maybe we need to know something about sheep to understand why God calls us sheep. Sheep are very peculiar animals. I had a good friend back in Oregon who was raised on a sheep farm. And so I asked him one time, Brad, you were around sheep. You helped your dad raise sheep. What are sheep like? He says, oh, they are dumb. They are dumb. And he said, the least little bit of change that happens, they go into a panic. They don't know what to do. Wow. God calls us sheep. And maybe that's one of the reasons why. Sheep are also designed to follow. But the question is, who do they follow? Some years ago, the Washington Post published a story about a small town in eastern Turkey. And there were some shepherds there with their sheep, and the sheep were all sort of in a pastured area. And the shepherd sat down for lunch. And to their shock, one of the sheep left the flock and jumped off the side of a hill. It was actually a cliff, 45 feet. Boom, down to its death. That was bad enough. What they couldn't believe before their very eyes is that the entire flock followed the one sheep and they all jumped off the cliff. That's incredible. Well, or that sheep. Sheep love to follow the leader. Even if they don't know who the leader is or where the leader is going, they will follow. I suppose the good news is that after 1,500 sheep jumped off from the cliff, only 450 died. The rest were cushioned by the first on which they fell. Sheep are easily distracted. They're willing to follow just about anything or anybody. They are susceptible to the influence of the group that brings them, well, they don't know where. They're just going with the group. They haven't thought about it. They're crowd followers. And that's the kind of people that Jesus now says we are. We are like sheep. You remember that rather well-known passage in Isaiah 53 about the shepherd? it's as much about the sheep as it is the shepherd. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So right there, already in the Old Testament, we get that understanding of a shepherd and a sheep kind of a situation. We know what sheep are and why they need a shepherd. But that passage also hints at how Jesus is going to shepherd his people. How far will he go to shepherd them? You and I need a shepherd who is going to love us fiercely and forcefully forever if we're going to be the kind of flock that God intended us to be. So a couple of things I want to share this morning about this particular passage, about 7 or 8 verses here. The first is this. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, I am your shepherd," he's saying belonging matters. It's not just belonging to anything, but belonging to Jesus matters. It's the difference between, well, literally, life and death. It's being brought into the richest of pastures, or having to live life and find your own way, and because of your character, virtually doomed to die for something that really does not make sense. And God's people have always had to try to figure out who's going to be their shepherd. I can tell you right now that sheep aren't very good at doing that. Right? Sheep will fall for false shepherds anytime. Somebody comes along with a little better deal, a little better offer, something that sounds enticing. God's people have always followed them. When other nations offered what they thought were better options for gods, they would follow them, particularly if it meant saving their own skin, or if it meant feeling more comfortable that they were a part of the crowd of nations. So God's people have always had to choose between true and false shepherds. They've always been around. But one of the things that God continued to always tell his people was that I am going to be your shepherd. I think one of the most dramatic places in Ezekiel chapter 34 is where God was telling his people who were in exile that this is what happened to you and why. Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning with verse 12. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I, this is the Lord speaking, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. And then verse 15. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. Why? Well, because there's been so many shepherds that have left them astray. That's why God threw them into exile. And then finally, in verse 23, he says this, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. And of course, he was looking ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ, who here in our passage is identified as the good shepherd. I will shepherd you, says the Lord, through my servant David, through the good shepherd Jesus. How do you know that you're following a good shepherd? Well, it's hard for us to figure that out. I think part of what Jesus is saying here is, I'm going to tell you who the good shepherd is. I'm going to show you myself. But there's three things that I think you can identify in Jesus that show that he's a good shepherd of his own sheep. Number one, his voice. My sheep know my voice, and they listen to my voice. There's something about the voice of Jesus that connects us to God. It's that familiar and trusted voice that his own sheep will know. And sheep are unique about that, because if they attach themselves to a shepherd that takes care of them, they will listen for that voice always. It doesn't mean that they will always follow, but most often they will. It doesn't mean that they won't be distracted, but they have a shepherd who will call them back. And that's what Jesus is trying to underscore here. So for as dumb as sheep are and as panicked as they get, Jesus is saying, I want to tell you something good about sheep, my sheep. They listen to my voice. They hear it. They follow it. They know it's good, and it's good for them. Second thing you know about a good shepherd is that a shepherd provides that place of belonging. You belong in the shepherd's flock. You know that. It's a commitment that's born not out of the sheep, but it's a commitment and a relationship that's born out of a precious relationship that the shepherd commits to his sheep. He will stick with them. He will guard them. He will protect them. Doesn't matter what the cost is. But there's that relationship, that sense of belonging that is powerful in what the good shepherd provides. Now, Jesus, of course, makes this comparison with the hired shepherd, which, the hired shepherd may be looking for his wage at the end of the day, but he really doesn't care that much about the sheep. He may come and go, and he certainly isn't going to put his own life in danger for the sheep. So he's kind of a come and go. You don't necessarily belong to that kind of a shepherd. Third thing that Jesus talks about here is protection. You know a shepherd is good if the shepherd will protect you at all costs, because they belong to you. You will be that kind of a shepherd if you truly care for your sheep. Care that is loving and constant. It's persistent. That's why in the verses leading up to this particular passage, Jesus talks about himself as the gate. He's the one that provides that ability to protect his sheep, coming and going as they will. And so the question that Jesus is asking here, both of the Pharisees as well as his disciples and of us today, is, so which shepherd do you follow? Are you listening for the good shepherd? Do you hear his voice? In the challenges of every day, when the world presses in, when the tensions of life begin to build, when you go through those experiences that kind of leave you confused, what is going on? When crisis hits your life, do you still continue to follow the good shepherd? We live in a time that is fairly challenging. I mean, the moral chaos and the violence and the everybody does whatever they pleases, whatever they choose to call right, it's that kind of day that you and I live in. And Jesus is calling us as the good shepherd, and he is saying, follow me. So again, the question is, to whose shepherd voice do you listen? And which shepherd do you follow? There really is only one good choice. Jesus talks about that in John as well, John chapter 14. This is what he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here's the key thing that sheep need to know. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what makes Jesus not only the one right choice, It makes him the best choice. It makes him the good choice. And so we have to read John chapter 10 here in the backdrop of Psalm 23, which we said together earlier, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing." Second thing we need to understand about this particular passage, something we need to know about our shepherd, which kind of begins to set the pattern for our own lives. Notice that Jesus, the good shepherd, says very, very clearly who's in charge of what happens to his life and therefore to our life. So first to the shepherd's life, Jesus, the good shepherd, says, I'm the one who I'm going to lay down my life. I'm the one that's going to pick it up. And there's a pattern there that's repeated throughout the scriptures in the of the life of Jesus. And that is, Jesus is dying and he is rising for us. That's what he does as the good shepherd. He doesn't just do it in response to his God, whom he loves, but he does it specifically because God loves us and Jesus, the good shepherd, shares in that love. It's kind of that beautiful commitment. Like, I don't know many shepherds who are willing to do this. Again, this is very, very countercultural. What Jesus is talking about is that he is willing to sacrifice his own life as a shepherd for us because he loves us so much. And that love is born out of the love that he has for the Father. That sacrificial love. So Jesus, counting the cost of what it was going to take to redeem his people, said, I'm in. Let's do it. That is countercultural. You know how people make leadership decisions today. I don't care whether you're in business or you think of food and drug companies, you think of politicians. They're always managing risk with outcome. Always. They're always looking at the bottom line. When I come out on the other side, am I going to survive and am I going to look good? Because if not, then I'm not willing to do this. Jesus is completely different, which is what makes him the good shepherd. Jesus is the one who says, I am willing to lay down my life for my sheep. That's the cost. There is no risk in it. The only risk is not doing what the Father wants, not showing my love for the sheep. And so sacrificial love for Jesus looks like obeying his Father, but it also looks like laying down his life. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All the sheep have gone astray. They've turned their own way, so God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, when somebody makes choices that are countercultural, we often think that person is crazy. They don't know what they're doing. And what Jesus here is presenting himself as, yes, I'm very countercultural, but I do know what I'm doing. I have the authority not only to lay my life down, but to pick it up again. That authority of Jesus shows that in his actions, God was carrying out through Jesus exactly what he intended to accomplish through his plan. It highlights the sovereignty of God, and it says whatever Caiaphas the high priest was up to, and whatever Pilate thought he was up to, both of whom thought they had the situation in control, as nervous as they were, had nothing to do with what Jesus was doing. He had the authority to lay down his life and to pick it up again. That's a love that starts at the beginning and goes all the way to the end. It's also what secures a relationship together. So not only does Jesus give us his sacrificial love, but he shares an intimacy with us that he shares with his Father. Did you notice how Jesus highlights the intimacy? The reason the Father loves me is because I laid down his life. Now, that's not the only reason the Father loves him. The Father and the Son have loved each other from all eternity. But that love that's generated flows through Jesus from then the Father to the Son, because Jesus does exactly what the Father designs him to do so that he can rescue his sheep. The important thing about that Jesus wants the sheep to know is that we are held in that kind of a love. We are held in that kind of a commitment that is strong and that will never give up. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about the Lord Jesus Christ and his church in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 27. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So how do you respond to a shepherd who describes himself in this way? To a shepherd who actually lives and does exactly what he says. To a shepherd who is in authority because of his rich relationship with God. Well, I mean, there's a number of different responses, but they kind of fall in two categories. One is the category that the Pharisees in this particular passage kind of fall into. And that is, this guy's crazy. Number one, he thinks he's God. But number two, that's not the way you're going to get ahead. You're actually going to give up your life? That makes no sense at all. So either Jesus is crazy and demon-possessed, as they accused him of, or he is the one who calls his sheep and they listen to his voice. Again, John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So where are you in the journey of life on the paths that lead many different ways? Where are you in the process of following the Lord Jesus? Where have you heard the Good Shepherd's voice, and how are you responding to that? Is your basic approach, you know, when Jesus speaks to me through the Scriptures, or when someone points me to Jesus, is your basic approach, this is going to be good, I'm going to have to deal with this, or is it something you either neglect or just put to the side? Really, Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I love them. I know them. And they follow me. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me, this prayer of application, as we all kind of wrestle with that question and day by day seek to respond to Jesus. This prayer is based on Psalm 23. I invite you to pray it with me as we once again embrace the shepherd who has embraced us as his sheep. Let's pray this together. Lord, you are my shepherd. In you I have everything. You provide rest for me in refreshing ways that revive my life in you. Guide me in ways that please you when I go through difficult and dark days. Remind me of your presence so my fears run away. Guard and protect my coming and going so that I may live in your strength. Help me to see you and your generous provisions as I face those who would do me harm. I am grateful for your goodness and love always surrounding me. I praise you for enfolding me in your gracious presence. my forever home through Jesus, my Savior and Shepherd. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's sing our song of commitment, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.